Hey everyone, it's Alex with a quick announcement before we get into this week's show. And that is to announce that starting in June, the Michael Scott Podcast Company will be on Patreon. For $5 a month, you can join Scott's Tots and support the show directly. Nothing's going to change with our main weekly show. That's still going to go out to the public for free, as it always does. But if you become a Scott's Tot, you get access to our mailbag-only episodes. This mailbag episode that you're hearing will be our last public-facing one. Going forward, it will be for Scott's Tots only. Plus, for that $5 a month, you help support the show directly and help us keep making it. We want to buy nicer mics for Edwin and Sean because we don't know how long we're going to keep recording in quarantine. We have other ideas and bonus content that we want to do for you down the road. We want to do watch-along episodes with you guys so you can download our commentary track and watch along with us. All sorts of other stuff. A merch store down the road. All that stuff is going to be great. So join Scott's Tots today. Actually, starting in June. So that's in a few days from now. But head on over to patreon.com/Michael Scott starting in June. Become one of Scott's Tots and make your dreams come true.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and 12-year-old bully, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, Lizard King.
And with
that's the best, favorite one you've ever done. Yeah.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
I would gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Excuse me one second, please. What is it that you need right now that can't wait until I'm off the phone with a customer?
Ooh, a customer. Well, sound the alarm.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week, one of my favorite episodes that we do, Mailbag.
Oh, it's always good to just blow the dust off that old burlap sack. grab the various papers and voicemail recordings left on USB sticks, plug them in, and get back to them. It's our favorite thing.
It really is great. And it, just thank you to everybody who sends us emails, Instagram messages, voicemails. We really appreciate it. And we take time to go through those, and we've collected some of our favorites.
I know that we've never said that how much we appreciate you guys writing in, but
we're finally giving back. Well, let's jump right in. Let's start with an Instagram message we got from Stacy.
All right. So Stacy sent us this really great Office This or That. So this can be kind of quick, but I'll just run you guys through it and we can talk about it a little bit as we go. So the first one, Best Scenes Edition, which one is your favorite? So Dwight's fire drill gives Stanley a heart attack, or when Dwight finds half a joint in the parking lot.
Fire drill.
Yeah, I have to go fire drill. There's a lot more meat on that bone.
Yeah, I think the fire drill is the most memorable by far. Yeah,
I do love that part though, where Dwight's standing in the parking lot and he like pretends to throw the joint down.
Yeah, he has the
yeah. There's like the CSI like string that they're to find the angle of the throw.
That's the chalk outline around the traffic cone.
Think that might be the best moment out of all those scenes, but I do think overall the fire drill is pretty tough to beat.
I wish we got a little bit more of Dwight in uniform.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
All right, so next, Jim dressing up as Dwight, or Dwight gets to meet Asian Jim.
Asian Jim. The execution is so good. It's just, it's the way when him and Pam kiss, it just seals it. It's so good. And the picture in the frame, I don't know.
Dwight's shock.
I will also go with Agent Jim. I think with so much of Jim's pranks on Dwight, it's Dwight believing some piece of reality that he always secretly believed to be true. So like a vampire
or telepathy
or Yeah, or the wire that leads to somewhere else. Telepathy, great example.
Right.
But in the Asian gym prank, Dwight's whole perception of reality seems to unravel. Yeah. Where he looks at the family photo and the voicemail code. Like
he's dealing with a lot in that moment. Because
Office PDA or office CPR?
Oh my gosh, that's so good.
That's really hard. I was like,
that is really hard. CPR, it's got to be. First I was afraid, I was petrified.
Oh, I love that song.
You were in the parking lot earlier. That's how I know you.
That's how I know you.
I mean, so much is packed into that little.
Yeah, hello, Clarice. I think I love PDA. I don't know.
I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
That and the way that I like the way her thighs feel on my buttocks or my butt. That line just kills me.
When Michael says, "Are you talking about me and Holly?" and he's literally sitting on her lap in the very front of the conference room meeting where she was pretending to be his hands.
That's a real toss up. I think CPR is the right choice. Just the way the nurse is just trying to keep them on task and the way they just don't care. Also, there have been news stories of people performing CPR and just remembering that scene and using it to actually save a life.
Wow.
Look it up, amazing. Man. It's happened
so it's
multiple
actually
times.
Saved lives.
Yeah, it's happened multiple times and people think of that song. Mm-hmm. First I was afraid and and they save lives.
Okay, moving on. When a bat gets into the office or Michael and Dwight try to frame Toby.
Ooh. Framing Toby, I think. I just love Michael going to buy the drugs.
Blood, urine, or semen. God, I hope it's urine.
Like at the same time. I didn't mean to do that. Let me do that cleanly.
Since when is it illegal to put pretend salad anywhere?
Oh man,
I'm gonna go with the bat.
Really?
I think the bat is one of the. I love the bat. I think it's so funny. Poop is raining from the ceilings, and just at the end when Dwight in animal control mode with the broom that he sharpened. Stop bagging my head. That comes a little later.
I was the first instance
of bagging.
I choose the bat because of the long payoff for the joke way down the road of quit bagging my head.
Yeah. Don't dog catch me. You know, there's another payoff.
Quit bagging my head. Great trivia team name.
That is a great trivia team name, man.
No one would really get it, but the people who got it would just like, that's who you want.
Yeah.
I think in the blood drive episode, Michael is talking about how he's trying to get everyone together. How do we bring all these people together? And Dwight says, net, a giant net. And then later he has one for Meredith.
He loves a big net.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's effective.
Okay.
It's authoritarian, you know.
Michael crashing Phyllis's wedding or Creed's Halloween costume with blood?
Dragging the wheelchair down the aisle is tough to beat. I got to go with that.
Oh yeah. Michael crashing Phyllis's wedding.
He gets
zip-tied.
Yeah, I think
the crashing refers to Michael trying to get back in.
Oh
but
yeah, that's
the
right.
Michael ruins Phyllis's wedding is the entire episode.
Yeah.
Creed's blood thing is like that's maybe one of the darkest moments on the show. Where Creed's character is just like, oh my God, what did
probably
he...
Probably killed somebody, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you hope it was like an animal or something.
And then you realize, no, yeah. I don't hope that.
It's like, dang, dude.
All right, so Michael trying to survive in the woods or when Michael screams, no God, please no.
Mm. Oh, great. Both great moments of screams.
Janice, plastic boobs!
I mean, no, God, please, no is one of the best lines in the whole show.
Oh, you know...
God, please, no! I beg in my Crocs.
Kayla on Facebook posted a video of a song from Frozen where the high notes are auto-tuned with Michael's nose.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing. You should check it out. Yeah, if you
haven't seen it. Oh, my gosh, definitely.
No, I'm going no God please no for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's too good.
Yeah, I think that's the one too. It's tough because these other moments, it's very iconic moments versus moments that are also very funny. I'm just thinking of Michael's pants tent.
I know, but that's thing is it's also
this is a lovely fabric.
When he re-duct tapes his pants together too, when it got a little cold. But it's a lot of these have been like series of moments versus one moment, and it's kind of hard to judge. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
And then the very last one: office parkour versus office basketball.
Oh, parkour.
Basketball.
Yeah, I'm taking basketball.
This, oh, my gosh.
I'm just parkour. I'm just rewatching that episode over and over because there's no NBA right now.
Yeah, The Last Dance featuring Michael
Scott. That's a good one.
I gotta go with parkour.
That's a great Scott's flagship program. a 10-part documentary about that basketball game.
Mm-hmm. Do it, Andy.
The first dance.
Am I Michael Scott or am I a basketball machine?
I had to go with parkour just because I love when that first, like Michael first comes in with that somersault and then just immediately knocking stuff off of Pam's desk.
His look to the camera with the hands up, parkour.
Parkour. Right. Also, I know, Sean, you're just a lover of parkour in general. I know you watch those Russian parkour videos. You love those.
I was a big fan of those.
I know you were quite the parkour enthusiast in your day too. I saw you hit some jumps I never thought you could.
Oh sure. I was all about those gainers off of. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For the listeners, Sean is just Sean is an athletic machine.
It's funny because it's true.
That is the last of the this or that. This template was created by @maddie.corbin. On Instagram. So I imagine there might be more.
Hopefully. Oh,
yeah. Those are great.
Very fun. Thank you. Thank you, Stacy, for sending that to us.
Thank you very much, Stacy. We have a voicemail next from Spencer in Alaska.
Hi, I'm Spencer. I'm calling from Alaska, and I just want to let you know that I was recently moved from Scranton, Pennsylvania, and my dad was actually the owner of Poopy Seafood. I'm 12 years old. And I just thought it was interesting. When he first opened the store, it was really popular. So when the box came out, he kind of took off. Thanks, Emma. Really like the show, guys. Bye.
Lot going on in that voicemail. I love it. Number one, crazy that your dad owned Cooper's and that it like really took off after the show. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I want to know, were there more like business lunches happening and like, or is it more dinners? Which hour of the day got more traffic?
Right.
A lot of interesting clicks in that voicemail. There's sirens in the background. I just got a lot of questions for Spencer here in Alaska. And then I love the he tells us 12, that he's okay. 12 well into the voicemail.
Hey, much appreciated.
No, that is, dude, Spencer, awesome. That's awesome, man. That is so cool. Thank you so much for calling in with that. We'd love to hear more tales of filming at Cooper's. Maybe you and your dad can give us another call back sometime.
What took you from Scranton to Alaska?
They just made millions and headed out there.
Went for the better.
I was gonna
seafood.
Say maybe they're looking for the deadliest catch. I will say if you look up online, I don't know if you guys ever looked into this, but like if you try to look into going to visit Scranton, I remember reading a thing on Reddit where some people from Scranton said, "Don't come here. There isn't a lot of office themed stuff for you to do here." But I think Cooper Seafood does have a lot of memorabilia for sale, so it's obviously a part of the show, and it's a little more of a destination, I think, within Scranton. Even though there might not be a lot of other places that are catered to office fans.
I mean, if I had a night in Scranton on a flight for some reason, a layover in Scranton. Actually, they should do that. That'd be great. I would totally get dinner at Cooper's, and then I'd hit Poor Richard's and get really drunk at Poor Richard's and throw something into the mirror.
Hit the Anthracite Museum.
Yeah.
Steamtown Mall.
Oh, yeah. Get a new pair of panties.
Bustier?
Bustier.
Well,
Santa would like to buy you a new pair of panties.
Oh, thank you so much, Spencer. Thanks for calling in, man. We'd love to hear more about it sometime if you ever feel like hitting us up again. Next, we have a message from Instagram from Annalise.
Yes, this question comes from Annalise. She asks, which Harry Potter houses the office characters would sort into?
Boy, oh boy.
Alex, as our resident Harry Potter expert.
Yeah, exactly. You take the lead on this one.
Yeah, I hate to say expert just because, like, the amount we know about The Office, there's people who do that with Harry Potter. Shout out to our friend Danny, who we should really be recruiting for this episode. So, I don't know. There's obviously only the Sorting Hat could actually do this. If you could put it on every character's head, I could imagine what they might be. So I don't know, where do we want to start here? Give me a character.
Michael Scott.
He's not going to Hogwarts. Michael Scott is a squib. Sorry.
What about Dwight? I think I know.
Dwight's you're gonna think Dwight's a Slytherin, but Dwight is Gryffindor.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding. Dwight's totally Slytherin.
I mean, I can see it either way, but I definitely think he is.
There's one
Slytherin.
Scene that
he's Slytherin.
There's one major scene. Well, A, he speaks German, which feels like you'd be in Slytherin. Pre-industrial German.
Yeah.
But the other main scene is in the hay place where he's crowning the winners, and he goes, purebred, mixed breed, and purebred. So the way he looks at people as far as how thoroughly bred they are, that makes him Slytherin for sure.
Yeah, Slytherin's all about power. That's what Dwight's all about, baby. Power.
Power, tradition, and lineage. And those three words describe, alongside Beats, Bears, and Battlestar Galactica, that is Dwight to a T.
His name, Dwight Schrute.
Dwight. Anyway,
I'll
do a rapid fire. If you just give me the characters, we'll sort them. Or what do you have, Sean? What do you have?
No. Here, I'll do that. I'll hit you with characters. All right, Kevin Malone,
Hufflepuff.
That's what I had. Yeah. Creed.
That's an interesting one.
Creed goes to Durmstrang. He goes to a different school in Eastern Europe.
She goes to a different school.
Yeah.
I had him in Ravenclaw, but
Creed works in Nocturne Alley, which is the dark offshoot of Diagon Alley. He doesn't go to school.
I like it. What about Pam?
Pam's Hufflepuff.
Oh, word. I had her in Gryffindor, but maybe, but I could see it. I feel like Hufflepuff are kind of like the artsy kids.
Yeah, I think so. I just think there's enough moments of Pam being a little timid. I don't know. There's a boldness to Gryffindor that Pam lacks, I think. Mm. Overall. Boy,
we're going to get a lot of opinions on this. I hope we do. What about Angela Smith?
Angela
Smith.
Oh, God. Oh, sorry.
Are you talking about Angela?
Think that one again.
Sorry.
Angela Martin or Angela Schrute?
Angela Martin.
Angela is also in Slytherin with Dwight. No question. Oscar's in Ravenclaw. Okay, Oscar's in Ravenclaw. Aaron's in Hufflepuff.
Toby.
Gabe is a prefect that no one likes. I don't know which house he's in.
Toby.
Mm-hmm. Toby's in Ravenclaw. He just wants to be in the library reading old books. Mm.
What about Jim?
Jim's
Gryffindor.
Jim's
right?
Gryffindor. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
He's as close.
There's
gotta be one.
About Meredith.
The Marinator.
Meredith is in Gryffindor. For sure. Meredith is definitely in Gryffindor. No doubt. Andy is Hufflepuff all the way. That's what Hufflepuff is.
What about Joe Bennett?
I think Joe's a Gryffindor.
Joe's the head of the Gryffindor house. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the McGonagall of this whole operation.
I'll give you a really hard one. Robert California.
Slytherin.
Yeah, I know. I was joking.
He's related to Salazar Slytherin, the lizard king.
Yeah.
The reptile himself.
Ryan Kelly.
Ryan is in Slytherin. Kelly is in Hufflepuff. Mm-hmm, for sure.
Andy.
Andy's in Hufflepuff all the way.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What about Daryl?
Daryl's in Gryffindor.
Yeah.
For sure.
About no Nate. Question.
Nate. Oh. Nate is also a squib. who he's on the groundskeeping staff at Hogwarts.
Definitely. Replying the paper.
He takes care of the Quidditch brooms or something.
In the beehives. Hornet's nests.
Yeah.
Is there anyone we missed? I'm trying to think.
Phyllis.
Oh, Phyllis, of course.
Yeah.
And Stanley.
Yeah.
Phyllis is a Ravenclaw.
No. Phyllis is Slytherin. Phyllis is Slytherin.
Whoa, full on.
That's my hot take. Look at the way she uses her power to sort of twist things to her when she wants. The way she insults Pam just makes her a Slytherin to me.
That's true.
Bob Vance
That's
is true. Gryffindor. All the way. Yeah. And the winner.
did we get Daryl?
Yeah, Daryl's Gryffindor. Okay.
Stanley. We haven't gotten Stanley.
Do Stanley and then do Florida Stanley.
Stanley's like an old professor who is totally checked. He's a Professor Binns type who teaches history of magic. But I don't know. He's on staff. I just don't know which house he's affiliated with. You know what? We're going to go Gryffindor because he used to be in the Black Panthers. Like, he used to be like a huge activist.
We were fighting the power and eating whatever we wanted.
Yeah, and now he's old. He doesn't really care, but he's still affiliated with Gryffindor.
Sure,
say that.
Sure.
All right. That's enough on that question.
That's great. That was really fun. Really fun question from Annalise. And please, if you're a Harry Potter fan out there and you disagreed, we welcome your emails and your voicemails. Hit us up.
Michael Scott's just been waiting for his Hogwarts letter for years, but he's a squib, so he's not. He doesn't actually go to Hogwarts. But
he's doing his, like, taking magic classes and buying sets spending time after school.
Magic sets. So he can do, like, magic tricks, but he can't actually do magic. But he loves, like, he still goes to Diagon Alley and shops, and he wants to see people, and he goes to Hogsmeade, and he's hanging out, but he's not actually a student, for sure.
I'm imagining him wearing the straitjacket, waiting for his letter to come. And if you happen to see a small brass key.
Yes. Yes. And Hank is Hagrid.
Oh, definitely. I love that. I love that. Well, let's move on. Next, we have a voicemail from Eric in Toronto.
Hey guys, it's Eric calling from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. It is Monday, midday, 1:15. Just a couple of thoughts after listening to the What Would You Rather podcast. I thought it would be fun to kind of do a who would you like to have dinner with, or who would you like to be trained by of all the office characters if you were going to be working there? Who would you want to spend the day with? Who's going to be training you to work at the office? That would be kind of fun. So just a thought. Again, it's Eric in Toronto. Thanks.
Well, thanks, Eric. Thanks for calling us with that question. That's kind of a two-parter, gentlemen. Which character would you like to have dinner with? And then which character would you like to train you on your first week in Dunder Mifflin Scranton? So what about the dinner party question?
I would like to go to that dinner. I guess it's technically a lunch, where at the near the end of the show, when Jim takes Phyllis and Stanley out to ask them to take on his clients while he's in Philly, and Stanley orders a surf and turf with more lobster, and Phyllis asks, how much wine do you have? I would like to be a part of that luncheon.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Phyllis and Stanley really, they know how to live, man. I would be all about that lobster and wine lunch.
They're kind of the original. I feel like those two were sort of the original crew for a treat yourself day that we learned about in Parks and Rec with Tom and Donna.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Stanley and Phyllis are the original treat yourself.
Yeah.
A Finer Things Club lunch would be nice.
Yes, it would. If I had to go to dinner, though, with just one person, I'm going with Robert California. I'm going out with Robert California to dinner.
Are you sure?
I knew you would say that.
Yes.
Of course. Of course.
You feel like by the end, he would have never broken eye contact, and you would have somehow given him all of your money to invest.
Yeah. It would just be a hell of a story. You know, I peddle in story arts for a living, and I couldn't pass up a dinner with Robert California.
I think I'd leave it at the dinner with Robert California. I would not follow him to a second location.
I would be hoping that he proposed a next step of the evening. You know, I'd like to see where it goes.
A Saturnalia.
Yeah.
Could get really weird. Yeah, I think those are great answers. I mean, I'd certainly like to have dinner with Pam or something like that. That would just be nice.
Having Jim and Pam over for a barbecue would just be the best.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Daryl too. Yeah.
Come on in, Nate, Daryl, Jim and Pam. Backyard barbecue.
Yeah.
What dinner moment I would really love to be a part of is at the end of Garden Party when Daryl is making burgers and they're all sitting on a blanket. That would be the one office dinner and I'd like to join.
And then you get to watch the closing ceremonies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oscar calls you Nard Dog and throws you a beer.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's a good one. Anyone else?
Nope.
We can jump to the second part of the question.
Yeah, who would you like to have to train you at the office? I feel like I would like Aaron to train me.
Really?
I would like to hear. I think it would be a very interesting.
You would need a whole second day of retraining because someone would be like, what did Aaron say? And it's like, no. Like,
well,
you do want the coffee.
I have to bring Michael celery sticks and peanut butter and raisins and say, who's hungry?
Well, I hands on a lot. Yeah, but you'd also be like.
How to use the bear to make it look like Daryl is in the office. You would have to use Barrel.
Right. That's
you'd learn how to make ice cold coffee.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Boil Gatorade.
I would like to be trained. Alex, you mentioned the story value of Dinner with Robert California. I think the Dwight training day, as we saw in the initiation episode, would be the story to remember. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. I would choose Oscar just for... Sort of same reason as Dwight. Probably there'd be some real efficiency, and Oscar wouldn't really. He'd want to get it done quickly, and he would only have correct, pertinent information.
Angela would be brief about it too, but I feel like it'd be riddled with judgments and insults along the way. So,
yeah, it would.
Kevin would be fun. He'd be like, here are my M&Ms, here are the vending machines.
Yeah, right. He would probably give you a full tour of the vending machines, like what are the good deals, what rows do they restock the most,
you know? I'm just thinking
down
of
the second floor.
And take your daughter to work day when he's like, this is the partition that separates my desk from Angela's.
Well, that's a great question from Eric, man. Thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. Next, we've got an email from D. D says, on Office Ladies, John Krasinski was on their Casino Night episode. John spoke about how he was given a box of props from the show, including his nameplate and the teapot. I thought an interesting question to ask you guys would be if you could keep 3 to 5 obscure props from the show that were not typical props you'd think of first, like the teapot or maybe Michael's mug or a Dundee, what would they be? And then Dee told us which ones they would pick, so I'll tell you at the end.
Do you guys want to go around, pick one at a time, and pick 3?
Sure.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Quick mini draft. Sean, you
I
kick
like
us
it.
Off.
Kevin's Chili Pot.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah,
and I could use it too. It's so big.
For all your dinner parties we're having these
days.
That's
right. Yeah. All right, Edwin.
Michael's truck. That little truck that he has. So it's like a semi truck. We see Sasha play with it and take it out of the workday.
Yep.
I believe they scan it when Michael gets that scanner and that box from Saber.
Yeah.
Then at the end, D'Angelo asks if he can have that truck. And Michael says, yeah, go ahead. Take my favorite truck. So that's the one I thought of.
I would.
That's right.
I'm taking, this is probably technically a costume, but I'm taking the sumo suit with the custom suit.
Nice.
That Michael wears.
Nice. Thank God I bought instead of rented.
Exactly. And that's how I'd feel if I had it too, because I would wear it to every costume party, every Halloween. I'm going, it's the same thing. Before you see me, you know exactly what I'm wearing. Because it would just, I don't think it would ever get old.
That's Hello, everybody!
All right,
but again,
next,
that's probably a costume. Next, yeah, go ahead.
Next, I would take a Saber Pyramid with the carrying case harness.
That's a really good pick.
So that I could also put slices of pizza in it.
Oh, you know what? Another thing that someone posted on our Facebook, Thaddeus, I believe, posted a thing about like a pizza slice holder Oh, on Facebook.
But you can buy it.
The thermal pocket. Yeah.
That's great. Mm.
All right, Evan.
The big picture. The picture of Tom Hanks in Big, just print it out on a piece of paper. And you just put it up somewhere in your house with like a thumbtack or a piece of tape.
Uh-huh. You could make that.
You could recreate that.
Yes, that's true.
But you want the one from the show.
The idea that you reused it.
Yeah.
For my second one, I'd like an official Knights of the Night tactical belt.
Oh, yeah.
I rewatched that scene, and it's the hardest I've laughed at The Office in a while. But when they talk about the flashlight fight and Dwight, and they're like, that sounds awesome. And Knight's like, it was pretty great. And the way that they all start flashing each other with their flashlights just killed me. And I was like, I'd like one of those belts with a flashlight on.
We can build in a very, 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 very quick mini Movie Monday segment. Shout out to Dave from Washington who suggested it. And I don't think I shouted them out. We did that the first time.
Oh,
but
nice.
The deleted scenes from that episode features a ton of extra Knights of the Night content, including Dwight attacking Nate.
Okay, I got it. Gosh, I got to see that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Definitely watching that after this. Mm-hmm. All right, my next pick is...
Last pick, third pick.
Yeah, last pick.
Third pick. Oh, last pick? All right. Ooh, all right. Well, then I'm going with Dwight's rocking chair from the farm.
Oh, good one.
That's very good.
It's a practical... Actually, to have a chair...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep. I'll just sit in that and look at the internet on my Saber Pyramid.
What is this, oak?
All right.
I don't know. What do you know?
What do you know?
Oh, man, this is such a tough pick. I'm going to go with the Hay Place crown.
Oh, nice. That's great.
Very usable. Yeah.
My last one, this is not practical and would be a headache, but I'm taking Joe Bennett's plane.
Oh, my God. All right, well, that's... Yeah.
Are you going to kill me?
That's awesome. Okay, well...
Did you guys have honorable mentions?
Oh, yeah. Yes. The Mallard?
Nice. A candle from Serenity by Jan.
You can buy those
online. The Froggy 101 bumper sticker.
The nutcracker that Dwight builds.
Oh, very good, very good.
The Homer Simpson doll.
That's good.
Oh, nice. The chair catalog.
I would like a
on my bookshelf.
A DM does GB pink hat.
Nice.
There's a poster up in like the first season near reception that says it. I'm blanking on it, but it says something like Dunder Mifflin, like hold hands together. It's a poster behind reception. I always think about it.
Mm.
But anyway. Or Michael Scott is the proud owner of a Seiko timepiece.
That one's really good. Or
a
Print in All Colors initiative poster.
Mm-hmm. I just thought it would be funny just to have Michael's tiny Jamaican beaded dreadlock. like in a wooden box I could just show people.
Mm-hmm. Also his
Steve
Halloween
Carell wore this.
His second head Halloween costume.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Or the sleeve of Holly's jacket that he cuts off.
That's a good one too.
Anyway, our honorable mentions are as long as our actual list. So
I know.
That's how you do it.
D wrote too that they would take they would take the berets, one of the berets from the Finer Things Club, the mini chores wheel.
Oh, that's good.
Tiny wheel.
Yeah, the tiny wheel. They said the mallard too, and the blank days since our last nonsense sign from season 9. That's a good one. Thank you so much, Dee. That was a great question.
Baylor.
Let's move on to a voicemail we got from Sarah.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I'm calling from Jackson, Michigan. I have called before, but I wanted to, before I lose track of this thought, I'm listening to your Michael and Pam podcast, and you guys talk about how Pam kind of kept Michael on track during the Pretzel Day episode, and at the end she kind of is like, Michael, that was a big sale, like, and that she kind of deserved some, like, a shout-out for helping him keep on point. And I kind of took that completely the opposite way, that Michael considers every sale to be a big sale. He's a good salesman, and more I took it as that Pam realized she doesn't need to ride his ass you know, all day long that he was going to make that big sale, whether or not, because he's that kind of a salesperson. Oh. And I think that wasn't her way of, like, keeping him on track. That was, like, her way of kind of, like, dang, Michael, you did a hell of a job. Like, even though he took a nap, even though he wasted time in pretzel day, he still nailed that sale. Just like when they go to the conference and it's, you know, Josh and Jim and all the paper people together, and he makes that huge sale with Hammer Mill so that they can start selling it. And even though he was dicking around and kind of had his party at the hotel and everything, he still did his job. Mm-hmm. And even after, you know, 15 years, he's still the number one. You know, he's just a good manager. And I think you guys kind of missed the point with that. But 99% of the time, you guys are on point. So I wanted to leave that and kind of touch base with you guys. All right. Bye.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Man, that's a great point. I think Sarah's right. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I guess I totally see your point.
Yeah, is Pam realizing in that moment that she doesn't need to babysit him?
I kind of think both are true, if that makes sense. And I don't mean this to be a cop out, but on one hand, yes, Michael becoming and showing how capable of a salesman he is an emerging trend as the show goes on. And it sort of underpins why Michael stays in his job and why the branch remains successful. At the same time, it is a bit of Pam. I think it's interesting that we can read that line from Pam. This is a huge sale in a number of different ways. I think that's super interesting. So I think she's right that it's almost Pam realizing that. And then Michael kind of being like, oh yeah, I guess. But I think there's both true. I think Michael does need to be corralled a little bit here and there. I mean, think about all the stuff that Jim has to do as co-manager, or Jan's performance review where she says she's out of carrots, she's out of sticks. So I think both can be true. Michael can be a great salesman with the need of a little bit of a correction. But at the same time, it is true, and it speaks to Michael's character that he does, like, value every sale and every client and every interaction. And that does lead to him being a great salesman.
Right.
Yeah. I do agree that it's a moment of Michael understanding, or of Pam understanding Michael better. As far as like a direct correlation to that day, though, it's like she, as Michael says, he can't focus unless he has the soft pretzel, right? And Pam comes down and he makes Pam wait in line for him to get that pretzel. So there is a very real step that Pam helps Michael get the pretzel, which gives him an intense blood sugar rush, which he then makes that sale while he's stepping up onto his chair and dancing and all that stuff. So I think it's a little bit of both, but I do appreciate Sarah's point here, because I think she's totally on the money.
Absolutely.
And Michael, and you're right, all the examples of like, yeah, Michael, even at the conference, like he makes these sales when he's really happy and excited. And when he's at the conference, he has the hotel bar going and he's like trying to do all this stuff, and he's eating. And then that pretzel day, he's super high on his blood sugar, or he's going to Chili's and getting drunk with Christian and he makes the sale. Like Pam's not there for those other moments. So maybe she doesn't realize that when Michael is in his element is when he seems like he's the most distracted and not doing his job well. But that's actually when he does his job the best.
Those food impulses don't always play out in the right way. I'm thinking, for example, how much of Michael was obsessed with eating that family-sized chicken pot pie. Yeah.
Or how he likes to wake up and eat freshly cooked bacon. That didn't work out well.
I feel like it's more the alcohol, like boozing, that gets him there. Maybe the food, not so much. But yeah, no, I think that's a great point.
Scotch and Splenda, baby.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll move on to an email that we got from Becky. We've heard from Becky before. She wrote to us before about her and her husband working from home during this COVID quarantine. So quick update. Husband and I are really loving working together during this quarantine. I think we're both going to miss this time when we go back into our offices. She says, my husband 3D printed us mini crossbows that fire toothpicks, and there's a mini war that breaks out at least once a day.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
That's amazing.
I just had to share that part because it's like, that's so cool. I Googled like what these things look like too. They're awesome. They're so cool. So, wow. I mean, we got to get us some of those. And it made me think of what if they had those in the show. That would have been a really funny cold open, I think.
So awesome. What a great way.
That would be an amazing cold open.
What a great little just thing to have around the house.
Yeah.
Office Olympics.
Yeah. I I've been working home for a while, and I used to have a roommate, our friend Matt, who you guys know. Mm-hmm. And he was a bartender, so he'd work nights, but during the day he'd be around when I was working, and we just kept those little like balsa wood glider planes around the house all the time. And it made for like such a great little 10-20 minute break, is suddenly a plane would just fly in front of me, and then I'd have to return fire, and we'd try and like hit angles around the house and like get him into each other's rooms. So that just reminded me of having like a little, like if you just had a little crossbow on your desk with a toothpick, like you just pick it up and start a little war. So I totally vibe with that. I think that's amazing. I want to see a picture of him. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she goes on with a question. Dwight doesn't believe in tipping delivery people because it's a job he could do himself, but he tips his urologist because he is unable to pulverize his own kidney stones. Following that line of thought, who in your life would you not tip, and who would you tip with this type of Dwight logic? She says, I would not tip servers because I can cook and serve food, but I would tip musicians because I can't play an instrument or carry a tune to save my life.
Of course,
we believe in tipping restaurant workers here at MSPC, yeah. Especially during these uncertain times. Please tip 10 to 20% when you're picking up takeout food. But just for fun, who would you not tip and who would you tip according to Dwight logic?
I'd tip my dental hygienist. Mm. Not the dentist. I think the dentist has the salary. It's on another level. But the dental hygienist, they got to deal with just so much breath. They got to floss people. They got to brush people. They're scraping. They're doing all this stuff that is nasty work. And I'm tipping them for sure.
I've had a couple of knee injuries in the past, and I get acupuncture every now and then. So I would say I'm an acupuncturist.
That's a good one.
Because I would never imagine putting needles in my own leg. Shout out to Terry.
Yeah.
I can drive, so I guess I wouldn't tip an Uber or a cab driver, which of course I do, but let's see, who would I tip? I can't massage my own back is one thing that I was thinking about. So I guess we're all kind of thinking we're all kind of in line with Dwight. It's people who
it's a lot of medical stuff.
Yeah.
Outside of that, too,
right, yeah.
I've been moving into a new house and doing a bunch of projects on it, so I've been at Home Depot a lot. I would tip, there's just some people at hardware stores who give you really good advice and help you buy stuff. I would tip that because I don't know a ton about construction and a lot of other homeworking stuff and people who do that well or come in and like, we had people come in and replace our sewer line. It's like, I'll tip them. That was dirty work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't actually tip them, but in this thinking, I would.
Well, I'm just thinking now of that scene where I think it's Michael reading Dwight his performance review, and he asks Michael if he's joking. He says, if it was a joke, you would be laughing. Are you laughing? And Dwight says, impossible to know. I can't see myself.
I love that. Becky, thank you so much for your update. Thank you so much for your question. We're super jealous of your toothpick crossbows. Maybe you can send us some sometime.
Yeah, have your husband print off three more and go ahead and mail that.
We'll give you
hit us with a DM and we'll get you an address.
I'll hit you with an address.
Karen, Portland, Oregon, baby.
We'll move on to a voicemail that we got from Emily in Memphis.
Hey guys, this is Emily. I'm calling from Memphis, Tennessee. And in your latest episode, you had asked how the office has been playing a role in my life and other lives since quarantine. And the first thing that popped into my head is that you guys have. I only discovered your podcast at the very beginning of quarantine, and it's been bringing me a lot of comfort and peace to know that I can just binge listen to you guys' commentary on my favorite show. I've been working from home, which is really hard. I work in communications, and I've been making tons of masks from home, and your podcast has really given me a lot of peace and comfort. So I just appreciate y'all, and I thank you for what you're doing, and I hope you stay healthy. Bye.
Oh, man. Emily, that is so nice.
Warm.
We've gotten a lot of messages like that, and like just to all y'all out there, like that's the best. We love to hear that, Yeah.
Truly appreciate it. Yeah.
And we're glad you found us too.
A couple episodes, you know, we asked people just to check in how you're doing in quarantine. So thanks for responding. Mm-hmm. And it's just the Office fan community is so tight and so great. And like, we all speak a common language. And it feels like during the quarantine time here, it's, there's not a ton else to focus on sometimes. And even just watching The Office, and it's just something we can all talk about and connect over. So it's just great. So yeah, thanks, Emily.
Slip back to a simpler time when getting Blackberries was a significant technology update, as was having a website for your business.
Yeah, that's right.
Coming Christmas 2002.
Yeah. Oh, thanks again, Emily. We really
yeah,
really
hang in there. Thanks
that.
For making masks and
definitely.
Let us know. Are you making any office themed masks? If not,
oh god, we would love to see an office themed mask. If anyone's
we could get
done
some Dunder Mifflin masks, great. Get
that
on it, Aaron.
Awesome.
Or
that
get on
monogrammed
it,
Angela mask is so ahead of its time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
That's true.
We got an email from Andina that I kind of wanted to just shout out. And we're going to post this on the... It's already posted on our Facebook. It's a... they sent us a link that is a horror movie recut, like a recut trailer for the horror movie of The Office called My Cousin Moe's. It's so good.
Oh, yeah.
We couldn't figure out a good way to kind of all watch it together since we're doing this over Zoom. But I'm just shouting it out. Thank you, Andina. Go to our Facebook page. Please watch it. It's hysterical.
It's posted there. Yeah, it's really good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we'll end with a trivia question sent to us, a voicemail from Amber in Utah.
Yeah, she's just got the one. There's just one question, but in lieu of trivia, this will do. So here we go.
Hey, it's Amber from Utah. And I thought of a trivia question. In the business school episode, Michael mentions that America is facing five Goliaths.
This is a great question.
He only lists four. What are they? And can you get them in order?
Ooh. In order, I don't know.
Okay.
The one that I know for sure is mercury poisoning.
Yes, that's one.
Terrorism?
Specific terrorism. A group. What's a specific terrorism group you can think of? The big
Al-Qaeda?
One.
Al-Qaeda?
Yes.
Oh man, I don't know.
Four out of five. All right, let's hear.
I don't know if I should give you the answer or how this works, but I will.
I will.
In order, they are Al Qaeda, global warming, sex predators, and mercury.
Oh my god.
One of the hardest laughs I've had watching The Office was the first time I watched him say mercury poisoning live.
Mercury.
That was, oh man.
It is kind of like if you just watch the nightly news, besides mercury poisoning, like it does kind of seem appropriate, like that those would be the answers if like your only resource was nightly news.
And it's like, yeah, that's clearly while Michael's watching or something. It's like Al-Qaeda, global warming, sex predators, mercury poisoning. That's so funny.
He has a similar thing where he lists the like the types of businesses that exist in America. One is railroads and one is sales.
Yeah, airlines.
I don't have them in front of me. But,
yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's a
great
question.
But thank you. That's a great question.
Yeah, more trivia. You guys send us trivia and try to challenge us. That's awesome. We always appreciate that. And we always appreciate all the messages that everyone sends us. You can send us messages, too. Reach out. We are on, we have a phone number, 503-694-9314. You can email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We're on Twitter at Michael Scott Pod. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who helps us with our social media and designs our artwork. And this episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon, from all of our respective homes.
Please remember to rate and review the show. It helps us, helps people find the show. And as always, thank you so much for listening. Take care. Stay healthy. Be well. We'll see you next week.
And we said this at the top of the show, but again, one last reminder that our mailbag episodes will be on Patreon going forward, which we're launching in June at patreon.com/Michael Scott. Folks, get in the club. Become a tot. I think is what we're. Are we going with Scott's Tots for the group?
I think something along those
become
lines.
A tot. Yeah. I think it's good. I think Scott's Tots is good. So become a tot and grow with us. Laptop batteries included for all members.
Yeah. So
check that out.
They're
going
lithium.
Forward.
And we will see you up there in Viagra Falls.
Pippity Poppy, give me the zombies.
Yes, sir.
Threat level who? Michael's gone. Threat level why? Apartheid. Gotta fight it. Free Mandela. Peace, I'm out.